ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 22 of Pizza Rainbow.
We talk about stuff in this episode.
What the fuck, stuff?
Real stuff.
Totally stuff.
Because we're real teens, and we talk about real stuff.
Real teen issues.
Talking about
being 35.
Yeah. To sum up, it's Bruce Jenner, Game of Thrones, Mad Men, boys, sex, spring, that kind of stuff. What's up, Jen Paulson?
Not much. I'm in a different room.
Yay. We're both in a different room.
I like it because then I will just stare at myself the entire time.
Hi, listeners.
Hey, Jen.
I moved on Sunday and my office has like a full wall of mirrors.
Ugh.
It also has a full wall of mirrors in the bedroom, which will be very interesting when I'm there by myself.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome. That's why you won't let me go in there.
Yeah.
There's just fucking lube everywhere. I came in. I was like, oh, let me see your room. I want to see what you've done with it. Oh, I'm not showing anyone my room yet. It's private.
I want to keep it private.
Do it.
There's stuff in there that I'm just kind of, it's not like naughty stuff, but it's like my vision naughty stuff. I can't believe I even
said that. Like, I haven't seen
that.
Your vision boards before.
I know, but I made different ones. And like, there's just something about like making vision boards and keeping them private. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I really think that's really cool. I might make fun of you for it, but I think there's something to be said for like, that's your fucking sanctuary.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I get to shit on this room.
Your hair looks super cute like that, by the way.
Does it look dirt really dirty?
No, it looks awesome.
Okay, cool. Because all week I've been feeling like I was at work and I'm like, oh my God, these guys are looking like dirty hair. I'm just fucking gross. And then I texted a friend of mine and I was like, how much cleavage is too much cleavage in the modern workplace? Well, because it's not that I'm like...
breaking all the rules.
No. It's not even like a rule breaking thing. It's right. Just basically all of the clothes that I have that are appropriate for like a business casual Monday through Thursday, jeans on Friday situation.
Right.
They're dresses and leggings. And like the dresses are like a little short because I wear them with leggings.
Right.
You know, and well, mostly because I've grown out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot, like this dress I'm wearing right now, I've had since I was 26 years old.
Oh my gosh.
So I've had this dress since, I mean, and then it fit me a lot better then. Like I have to wear a tank top under it.
Yes.
And it looks like a cardigan or something.
But I think like, okay, so the dress that you're wearing though, I feel like girls like you and me with big ass boobs, there's no way we can wear dresses like that without something underneath it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I used to have
one. Oh my God, this would be so fucking, I'd get fired. I'd be fired already.
I have a red one. I might even post this picture to the blog post, but like I have a red one that was that style and it was like just on the right side of the line of like, I could get away with this like in the evening, like going out. But yeah. So I did it one night and Katie and Sandeep, it was in the North Woods. I was like working at the martini bar or whatever. And they came to visit me and Katie later told me, she's like, seriously thought that you were going to pop out of that dress. Like I was worried that a boob was going to fall.
Oh my God.
I got a lot of attention that night. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, it's almost borderline obscene.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. I mean, I don't want to like feel like I have to totally cover up anymore. I'm kind of like, for some reason, I got to this point where I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
Also, like, when you were still living with me, you're like, one day, you're like, you look skinny. You want to know why? It's because I've been wearing a fucking sports bra because I'm so broke I can't buy new bras. You know,
but they can be really comfortable though. Oh, hold on. Sorry. That's my phone.
Somebody's popular. Sounds real good.
It's my new ringtone, everybody. All right. Anyway, sorry.
It's because Amber's going to eat a lot of pork and beans.
It's because I don't give a hoot about what you think.
Well, that's going to change the dynamic. Yeah.
No, but I... But another thing with that dress, too, we should just post a picture of it so people can see what we're talking about. I feel like that is also a very flattering dress shape, though, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I just wish that it was all
the just more, yeah, fabric. Like, I wish that there was just more fabric on those, like, triangles or whatever.
It definitely, like, well, it was had way more coverage when I was, like, 26.
Yeah, I have a couple dresses like that,
too. I think I've had it since I was, like, 25.
That's...
So, I mean, it's in good
amazing.
Shape.
I don't think I have anything. Well, no, that's not true. I have a couple of articles of clothing.
I'm just not good at buying like new clothes.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember there's a picture of me on my 26th birthday in this dress.
Okay. Well, maybe what we should do is take one of your fancy new paychecks and we go on a professional shopping spree with you.
That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. But it'll probably be a while. I've got a list.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need my Justins. I need new Justins. Okay. My cowboy boots. My Roper boots.
Oh, okay.
These boots. Ember's going to look under the table and look how fucked up these boots are.
Oh, see, now that you pointed out, yeah. Because it's the salt. The salt will eat away at holes like that. My favorite pair of boots had the same problem.
Yeah, I didn't take care of the leather. Yeah. Honestly, I'm going to buy 2 used pairs, I think, on eBay.
Yeah.
And you can get them for like as low as like $40.
Nice.
If you buy them at the store, they're like $150.
Yeah.
But I don't want brand new ones.
Like, no, you want them a little bit broken in. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I want them to look busted, but I don't want them to be busted.
Right. You want them to look worn in, but you just don't want them to be worn in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I used to have a big rule when I would go professional clothes shopping is that it has to, I'm not good at buying clothes anyways, just because I go through an existential crisis when I shop, just because I always think, is this something that I really want to spend money on, or would I rather spend money on this or that?
Yeah.
But I always, when I worked in an office and had to be professional, my big rule was, is this something that I would also want to wear out on a date or with somebody else?
Exactly.
Because I hate the thought of buying a bunch of professional bullshit that if I leave that job, I'm never going to wear again.
Yeah.
You know? And some of that stuff looks busted. And like it looks.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that. Oh, a lot of that stuff, like the pants are cut poorly.
Yes.
And just, it's like a mess. Like I was at Target yesterday trying to find leggings. Mm-hmm. Oh God, what a disaster. And like, I was looking at some of the clothes and I tried on some of the dress pants and I was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Really? I just want like 5 pairs of like black leggings. Mm-hmm. And a couple like dresses that kind of mostly cover up my boob area
right. That
are light for summer.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't think that's a tall order. I think that's pretty easy.
Or I'm going to have some person make them. I'm done. I'm like, here's this dress. Make this dress in this fabric.
See, and that's like my mom makes a lot of different clothes. And that actually is one of my favorite things ever is because you get one pattern that you know works for you. Get a whole bunch of different fabrics. And yeah, like... pay somebody to just make you a whole wardrobe on a silhouette that's very flattering and that you like.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I've got some dresses like that. So, and I've got some dresses that I'll have her like repurpose a little bit. Like I have this one dress that I really like. It's like kind of summery. Mm-hmm. And I really like the fabric. It's kind of like a pastel-y kind of weird plaid.
Yeah.
But it's like a ruffle in the front. And I'm just not a ruffle in the front person.
No, I'm not a ruffle anywhere kind of person.
I'm not either. I wish I was. Like, I had one, like, kind of white shirt that had something ruffly and was good for layers, but the ruffles were tiny.
Yeah.
So that was okay. But blouses fit me like shit.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of, like, I've got a small waist for being a big old fat person. But then I've got, like, big boobs, but then my arms are kind of big, but not that big.
Right.
My boobs aren't big enough for the big shirts.
Well, I just think blouses are impossible for big boobs anyways. Like, it's super hard to find a blouse that's not stretching with those like 2 buttons over your breasts, you know?
Yeah.
I totally have given up on blouses.
I know. I want to try to find like a good blazer in the fall, like buy it and then have the tailored.
Yeah.
I think they say in the fancy lady magazines that you just need to learn. You have to find a seamstress or a tailor.
Yes. I read that too. And I think it is true because they're with tailors and with winter coats. It is impossible to find one that fits over my boobs but doesn't look baggy everywhere else.
Yeah.
And, like, you have to buy it, like, 2 sizes too big. And then, yeah, if you can get it to fit over your boobs but then tailor it so it actually fits your waist. Because I have that same thing, too. Like, I have a small waist, but I have a large rib cage slash boobs.
Well, yeah. And I guess I have, like, big the muscles, but I've got... fat arms.
Yeah.
So then it gets too tight in the arms and then like right by your armpit and you're
just
like,
that's the worst. Yeah.
I can't drive.
Like when you have a dress that like fits great everywhere else except for your boobs and then it just like cuts off the end, like the bottom of your armpits. That's the thing that I always try to explain this and I know it sounds whatever, but like when girls are like, you're so lucky you have big boobs. It's like, you have no idea what a fucking hassle it is. Like, you can go into any store, find a top that's like small, medium, or large, or and it's going to fit you. Whereas I know that even if I want to buy a dress at Old Navy, there's no fucking way it's going to fit over my boobs.
Yeah, and then it's going to be fucking way too big everywhere else.
Yeah, and I got to tailor shit, and like buying bras is a disaster. Like, the bigger your boobs are, the more expensive the bras are.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, and like people don't get that. And it's like, it's expensive, it's annoying, it's a hassle. They make your back hurt. Like, my shoulders have permanent grooves in them from my bra straps. And, like, they're not getting played with all the time. So, the payout isn't worth it.
I like in the winter when your hands are warm and then you put your hands under your big old boobs and then your hands get warm. Yeah.
Except your, or when your hands are cold and then you put them under your boobs and then they're warm.
That what I meant to say? Oops. When your hands are warm and your tits are cold because you're a fucking weirdo. I'm a vampire. My hands are warm. My hot hands under my cold boobs. Sorry.
My hot hands.
Yeah. Hot hands.
Yep. That was amazing. Speaking of boobs.
Uh-oh. Who do we hate right now? Who is a boob?
There's some stuff going on this week. What do you want to talk about first?
Let's just get it out. Let's get this Kim Richards shit out of the way.
Okay. Jen, for listeners, Jen and I had a discussion before we started the podcast that we want to talk about Kim Richards' interview with Dr. Phil, and then we're putting a moratorium on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills talk until the next season. And maybe not even then.
Unless something horrible happens.
Unless that we like have to somebody talk dies. About. Somebody becomes Queen of England. Like, yeah. Something. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't keep this going with...
Because we're starting to get bored.
We just can't keep this going with Kim Richards. I don't want to...
Yeah.
I feel like eventually it's just going to get to this point where we're just going to be more hateful than talking about, like, that stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't... I'm over it. But also, she needs to... We need to just let her do her thing and not put our energy in the universe towards her at all.
True. I would agree with that. So for people who don't know, Kim Richards from Beverly Hills of Housewives.
Beverly Hills.
Hello. I am on the podcast right now speaking.
You are.
From the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. If you have listened to previous podcasts, which you don't have to, but so she's been on the season, and the whole season basically, like, the plot line has been about whether or not she was keeping up with her sobriety. Because she came out, I think it was 3 years ago, and finally admitted that she was an alcoholic after tons and tons of speculation about her erratic behavior. And her sister Kyle, who's also on the show, basically outed her as an alcoholic. So then this season was like a big one because she had one night of like super erratic, very aggressive behavior.
Yeah.
Like scary behavior. And then she spent the rest of the season denying it and then attacking others. Basically deflecting towards others, like, for like being concerned.
Crazy mean deflecting.
Like crazy, crazy, like defensive. So then what happened was about 2-3 weeks ago, she was arrested at the Polo Lounge in Beverly Hills for being drunk and disorderly, aggressive towards other patrons. She kicked a cop. She passively resisted arrest.
Yeah, she kicked the cop when they were booking her. She saved that for her finale.
Right, yeah. And so then Dr. Phil decided to sit down with her and four of her kids, or was it just three?
I think it may have been three, but I could be wrong because wasn't able to see it.
I wasn't either. So, but yeah, sat down with some of their kids and had an interview with her. And during the course of this interview, at one point, Dr. Phil told her that getting drunk and then driving to a hotel to get even more drunk wasn't good mothering. Or to quote him, he said, "That's just bad mothering." And somebody brought up rehab and she said, "Is this an intervention?" and stormed out. So, yeah.
But then the speculation that she actually is going to rehab.
Yeah, so it was reported a couple days ago that she has entered rehab. Okay, so let's break it down. Here's my thing about this, is that it's not that, and I'm not going to speak for you, but it's not that I don't have sympathy for people who are going through this. Like, obviously she has deeper issues that she needs to work out with. Mm-hmm. And I have empathy and sympathy for anybody who's struggling with addiction. It's incredibly hard. It is mental torture. It's not cut and dried the way that most people want it to be. Mm-hmm. But it is, I think that she has kind of eroded the public's goodwill with how, again, like she is aggressively deflected and like made other people's lives miserable simply because they were concerned about her.
Yeah.
Like that's where I'm kind of like, I'm not down with that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, I want her to get the help that she needs, and especially for her kids. Like, I can't imagine how awful it would be to see your mom's sobriety battle being played out on national television.
Exactly.
But it, I don't know. Like, I hope that she gets the help that she needs, but I also feel like, dude, you got some amends to make.
Oh, God, know? Yeah.
Like, just, I don't know. The way... And I mean, I know that that's one of the steps in the 12 steps is that like you make amends for the things that you've done, because whenever you're struggling with addiction or even depression or like any mental struggle, like quite often you act out in selfish and self-preserving ways and you hurt other people around you.
And she just spent the whole last season doing that and being like, no, and you know.
Yeah.
And then... I mean, regardless if she was drinking during the show, it's just like, I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, we all, I think we all saw her hurtling towards this.
I feel like, you know, regardless, even if she wasn't drinking during the show, she ended up using it as an excuse to drink.
Yes.
Not as an excuse.
Well, but. Yeah. I don't know. I think, yeah. I don't know. I didn't watch the interview. I don't, like, I don't really even have an opinion on Dr. Phil. Like, he's, I don't know. Like, I don't want to, like, I know some people are, like, so, like, polarized with him, but
I don't really care.
Yeah.
I don't like or dislike him. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel, too.
All right. Well, Cam, have a fun time and I don't know. It's just, like, I don't like you. I haven't liked you. You're unlikable. Like, but I want her to get better.
Yes. Like, wish her all the best. Hope for her family. But, yeah, she's not. I don't enjoy her.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But get better, because you're not terrible.
Sorry, everybody. My, hold on. I'm going to close the door.
That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I mean, not that I'm bored with it. You know, yeah, I'm bored with it.
I'm bored with it. Yeah. And she's I think we're all bored with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that's that. So no more Beverly Hills unless something incredible happens.
So I hope we don't talk about it for a while.
Yep. We're done. Out.
Do we want to stay on the serious side or we want to lighten it up and then go back to serious?
Let's stay on the serious side.
Like, okay.
Let's keep rolling with the serious.
So you did not get to watch all the Bruce Jenner
and
thing.
I'm super bummed. Yep.
I watched all of it, but I don't know. I mean... I think it was really inspiring.
Yeah.
And I may have been really high. I probably shouldn't say that.
It's okay. This
on life.
Sharing space.
And pizza.
Yep.
Yep.
And the joy of, you know, human evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember, I was just really, it was really one of those things where I was like, oh my God. It's like, when you have like the resources and the time to like, be whoever the fuck you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's really amazing.
Yeah.
It was like profound to me.
I watched some of the clips. I was really looking forward to the full episode. So I watched some of the clips and yeah, I mean, I feel that way too about how inspiring it was and how inspiring like his journey has been. And yeah. I really appreciate the fact that he was so open about it. And so honest. There were a couple of things in the clips that I saw with Diane Sawyer where I was kind of like, what? And well, I don't know how to fully express that, but like the whole like when she asked him, like the are you a woman question, it just kind of like it caught me off guard where like it just seemed like very abrupt.
Well, yeah, it was weird journalism on Diane Sawyer's part.
Yeah.
Who has a track record of having some fucking finesse.
Exactly. And which I'm sure is why Bruce Jenner agreed to do the interview with her, because usually she's incredibly sensitive. And
absolutely.
She asks very important questions and the questions that we all want answered, but she does it in a very careful manner.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was put off a little bit by that. But no, I just, since like this whole thing has started being talked about, I have been really hopeful that it would be something that we could talk about honestly. And we, like, I've expressed my opinion about this earlier, where if he wants to talk about it, he can talk about it. If he doesn't, like, we need to respect his privacy.
Oh, absolutely.
But the fact that he was willing to talk about it, like, I'm so grateful, just because, like, I think it's a conversation that we really need to have as a society. It's something that we really need to learn more about. I did like that Diane Sawyer kind of addressed the difference between cross-dressing and transgender.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important. And I think it's really important too. I saw a really great interview the morning after on Good Morning America. And they had a professor who was also transgender. And they just had a really honest dialogue about the difference between being gay and being transgender. And this woman, and I'll try to find her name, just because I really enjoyed hearing her speak on this topic. But it was kind of that thing where she's like, there's a difference between gender identity and sexuality. And your gender identity is, who am I when I go to bed at night? And your sexuality is, who do I love when I go to bed at night? And she's like, your gender identity can change, but your sexuality does not necessarily. Which I think is a very important thing for most people to kind of understand too. So I don't know. I was very pleased. I was very, just pleased. I was pleased.
Well, it was nice to see. I mean, I've been passively watching, like, Keeping Up with the Kardashians since it started.
Yeah, I almost never watch
that
show.
And he just always kind of came across as kind of a dick. But yeah. It was just really interesting to see just, like,
well, that was the
see
thing
his
too.
Story again. Yeah. You know?
And, like, in the interview, the little that I watched, like, he seemed so happy and, like,
yeah.
Like, glowing is the word that I remember, like, I immediately yeah. thought, where, like, when he was talking about it, like, it just, it, yeah, like, he seemed to have a lot more peace and contentment.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I mean, that was a big thing, too, is just, like, God, like, I just, everything kind of encircling, like, those worlds, where both with, you know, being transgender and also being gay and, you know, kind of being somebody who feels like you have to hide who you are in order to gain acceptance. Like, I just can't, I tear up when I think about how hard and awful that has to be to, like, not be able to be honest about that.
Yeah.
Not, and, like, with yourself, with other people, and, like, it just, I don't know. Like, I can't imagine, like, the relief that comes from being able to finally say, like, this is who I am and this is, you know, this is it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he seemed so miserable on the show.
Yeah.
But on the special, it was like, I mean, it was just night and day, which I'm sure we'll see.
Yeah.
Moving forward, too.
I think so, too. Yeah. No, I was very happy.
Good job, Bruce.
Way to go, Jenner.
Yeah.
You did it.
You great. Did it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was great.
Glad that happened.
Me too. On a lighter note.
Oh, seriously. Amy Schumer. What is... Oh, my God. Is it,
oh, my gosh.
What's the name of... Is it...
Inside Amy Schumer.
Inside Amy. I was going to be like, Keeping Up with Amy Schumer? No, that's not right. Inside Amy Schumer. Fucking A, man. That
it's
shit
so
is solid.
Amazing.
Rock yeah. solid.
Yeah. Like every, so the first episode of her third season?
Yes.
Like, yes. Was last week. And in the first like 5 minutes, it was already just like groundbreaking.
Yeah, seriously.
It was amazing.
And then this week, it was just like the same amazing shit.
Yeah.
And I love whoever he spoke, she talked to the guy from, that started Ashley Madison.
Yeah.
And then did you see the Jesse Klein talking to him after. It was so fucking amazing. And she's pregnant and she's like the head writer.
You're a monster.
Yeah. She's like, just kidding. Not really.
That's one of the things about Inside Amy Schumer that I absolutely love that I don't think gets enough attention is that she is a fantastic interviewer.
Yeah.
Like every single person that she has on the show with that segment, like it's delightful. It's entertaining. Like she asks really interesting questions. You can tell they obviously feel really comfortable with her.
She's very natural. She's a very natural interviewer.
Yes. Well, and who was the person that was on the episode last week? That was a transgendered person as well. Yeah.
First and foremost, I don't know why I know this, but I know why I know this. It's Bailey J.
Okay.
And she's actually a transgender porn star.
Okay.
Because I know some people, I read something online where they were like, yeah, that's good and everything, but you left out the part that, you know, she's a transgender porn star.
Well, maybe she can choose to share that when she wants to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She shares it.
But she was really, she was fun to watch. And it was fun to watch her and Amy kind of have this, like, very honest banter.
Exactly. Yeah. And I found that, I forget... It was probably on fucking Salon. Salon, it just hates everything. They're like, stop, stop, stop. We don't like anything. But they thought they're just like too direct about, like, I think Amy Schumer was like, you ever think of cutting your penis off? Or something like that.
Yeah, something like
that. And they're like, what?
Yeah. Which, I mean, obviously you should really never ask somebody that because it's personal, it's private. But in the context that it happened, like, I think it was obvious to most people watching that Amy had that sort of, not permission.
She had the carte blanche to ask.
She had the carte blanche to ask, and Bailey J seemed like it was a question that she had already had, like, expressed that she was comfortable with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Amy would just, like, ask that out of the blue. I don't know Amy, so I can't speak about her, but, like, yeah.
But we're on a first name basis anyway. Deal with it.
Yeah. No, it was great. Yeah, this episode was amazing. I love the rap one.
Which one?
The rap one. My boyfriend's a rapper.
This oh my god, that was so funny. The thing I've been loving about this show since even like the first season, even though it took me a little while to like warm up to it, is that they're hilarious, they're social commentary, and they're the fucking truth.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not afraid to tell the truth.
Right. Exactly. And
it's disgusting. I hate it so much. Like, there, I don't know if it was the one from season one where she's texting that guy and he's like, send me a pic. And I was like dating at the time and I was just wanted to cry at the TV. I was like, that's how it happened. That's so gross. Leave me alone.
Send me a picture of your tits.
Show me your dignity. Wait, you don't have any. Bye.
Right. I would fucking rage if any guy ever texted me that ever. Like, I would reach through the cell phone, grab his fucking Adam's apple, and like pull it out of his throat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you ever ask me that over text. Jen pulls out her phone.
I was gonna. You didn't get it. You would like saw it coming. So it's not gonna be funny anymore. But maybe later.
Nope, I don't like it. Yeah,
I don't like it either. But for some reason, I'm such like a puppy when I think that someone even remotely likes me, and they want to be like, "Oh, see my boobs." I'm like, "Oh, they're into me." No, they're not.
Which I get. I mean, there is this like trap. I think it like comes from middle school too, where this guy maybe kind of likes you. So then you're like, but I don't want to lose like him liking me. So if I don't send him a pic, like, is he going to stop liking me? That's the thing that makes me horrified for my niece, for both my nieces, for like having children. Like I think about kids having cell phones these days and like being on Facebook and I'm like, I'm so fucking lucky that we didn't have any of that shit.
Oh my god, seriously, I would have got pregnant very early. I would have like kept the cycle going. My mom had me when she was 17. My grandma had her my uncle when she was 17. Like, it would have just,
yeah,
I would have like a kid graduating this year.
I would still have awful angst ridden poetry haunting me to this day. Oh my god. Yeah, well, like your emotions are so erratic that it's so that thing where it's like, I love life. life. And then 5 minutes later, I fucking hate everybody.
Yeah, it'd be like vague booking constantly.
Yeah, exactly. When people think that they're your friends and you're not, it's like, what?
I can't even. I know. I mean, I know. I luckily have kind of moved past that phase of my life, you know, where someone's like, show me your tits. And I'll like send a picture of like a titmouse bird, like the bird. But I'll send two pictures of two titmice.
That's perfect.
And I'll be like, whatever. I'll send no, send me a picture of your nipples. And then I'd send like a picture of like baby bottle nipples. Just being a fucking smart ass. Yep. I'm like, nope, you're never going to
picture. They deserve it. Fuck those guys. Yeah.
I think I did send someone a picture of my boobs once, but it was like it was like in a bra.
Yeah.
And my face wasn't in it. I'm like, you can't prove shit.
Seriously. Like people who send any nudie pics with your face in it, you're dumb.
I know.
Yeah, dumb.
The only one I've ever sent, boobs.
Uh-huh.
No identifying tattoos even.
Right. Good job.
Those might not have even been my boobs. Now they were totally my boobs.
I'd probably send a picture that wasn't my boobs. If I was ever going to send a boob picture, it would be somebody else's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Guys will believe anything.
They're dumb.
They're stupid. So, just kidding. Just kidding, guys. We love you. Ask us out. Okay, bye.
I love some. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know yet. I don't know.
I had a moment yesterday. I was going to go to happy hour and meet up with this girl, Jackie Bateman. And I was riding the bus to NE. And it was downtown during like rush hour or whatever. And I just kind of had this moment where I'm like, I feel like I just hit puberty. And all of a sudden, like I'm starting to notice guys again, which is crazy because I've always noticed guys like for my entire life. Like I've been into boys. But it was one of those things where I'm like, that guy's cute. That guy's cute. That guy's cute. That guy's cute. And I'm like, maybe I should try that thing called dating. Maybe I should do that again.
Yeah. I've been doing the same thing and it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, not I like...
It's the spring fever, yeah.
Like you go somewhere.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I'm here with my friends, but you are like literally like, he's kind of cute. Yeah, I like him. He's kind of cute. He'll do. Ooh, he's dreamy. And then you go back. He's married. Oh, he has a girlfriend. Oh, ring. He's married. Not sure about that one. Okay. All right.
Yep. But now, like, I'm starting to feel like a weird anxiety where I'm like, somebody hurry up and ask me out already. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Like, I have two guys that I like that I'm kind of sort of like talking to, but nothing's happened yet. And like, that makes me incredibly impatient and also super annoyed.
Yeah. I know. I deleted my OkCupid profile for like the.
Did you?
I didn't delete it. I mean, I disabled it for like the fucking 50th time.
I
can't handle that like lack of authenticity anymore.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to pull that out. I was thinking about that today where I'm like, I kind of would prefer to just keep going out and being social and meeting people that way. But there's another part of me where it's like, it is kind of fun to do Tinder and OkCupid. But I still don't think I'm in the place where I want to do that again.
That's like, it's good in practice in terms of like looking around and then like the longer you're on there, you've seen this person like fucking for for 3 years and you're like, why are you still on here? Wait, why am I still on here? Fuck.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll keep it.
I don't know. Like, I need to stop saying like, first of all. I don't know. I think for me right now, it's more of a confidence issue than anything. Like there's just a couple things that I'm not super happy with that is a work in progress. But then sometimes I see other people who are going on tons of dates that are in the same place as I am, that have no problem with getting asked out all the time. And then I'm like, well, maybe I should try this. Like maybe I'm prejudging people a little bit too harshly in terms of, I don't know.
I mean, I'll go back on eventually.
Yeah.
Is what I always do.
Yeah. I think I just really need to just make out with somebody and get it out of my system. And then I can like coast again for another like 6 months.
Are you asking me, Amber? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Or am I? I'm kidding.
I did notice yesterday, though, that after a couple beers, that I'm still in that, like, thing where I get a couple beers of meat and I, like, it's like the devil. Like, I lose all of my inhibitions where I'm like, well, let's go do this and we should go do this and let's find somebody to make out with. And, like, it's just so, it's, I have to, like, figure out a way to temper it because it's only going to get worse in the summer.
That's true.
Yeah.
I know for me, I think I have a person that I'm making out with.
Yeah.
We continue to make out.
I'm That's into real it. Fun.
Not, I don't know. But I'm a little like I've got like spring levels of like I want to make out.
Yeah.
Like in my head, I'm just like I'm very focused on carnal pleasures right now.
I just want to film you saying that after the podcast, and I'm gonna put it on a continuous loop.
Not gonna do it. Not gonna say it.
See, yeah, and that's how I feel too. But then I also feel like. Okay, so the two guys that I like and I'm kind of talking with, I would not want to just make out with them to make out with them. Like, so I went to this party, kind of to backtrack, a couple weeks ago, and we ended up ending the night at Mortimer's. And I just had this moment where I remember being 28, and I've never been to Mortimer's before. And also, somebody said the most hilarious thing ever on our way there, which is like, I feel like Mortimer's is like ugly people sitting in your living room. I'm like, ah, that's perfect. But just remembering what it was like to hang out at bars in Uptown and then stumble home drunk with somebody, get laid, and feel great about your life, you know?
Yeah.
And how much fun that was and how easy it was. And I super fucking enjoyed it when it was happening. But now I'm so at that age and I feel like I don't know if it's my age, my station in life, or different expectations. But I feel like I'm at a stage in my life where if I were to sleep with somebody, it would still be fine. I'd still be okay. Like, I wouldn't get, like, emotional about it. But if it's somebody that I like, it's something where it's like, no. Like, it's weird. Like, it's not weird for so, I know there's, like, so many women who are listening to this where they're like, yeah. But for me, it's such a different perspective than it was when I was in my 20s.
Oh, yeah.
That it seems like so foreign to be like, oh, so like people like wait to sleep with each other? Like you guys go on dates first? That's so cool. Like,
right?
It's not used to doing that. And it's worked out in my favor. Like that's the thing too where I've had multiple relationships in my 20s where I literally slept with them on the first date and we ended up like dating forever and like falling in love and like all this other stuff. It's never, I'm trying to think, it's never backfired for me. Like never ever.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, but I think then you didn't like necessarily tie emotions to sex either.
At all.
Whereas you know, now it's like you want a little bit more.
Yeah.
Or with particular people you don't want to kind of, oh, you want to sully it?
Yeah.
You're just overthinking it.
I might be overthinking it. Plus, I'm wondering if these two guys that I'm kind of talking to, I think there's something about them too that kind of, I feel like it's a familiarity where I feel like they might have been a lot like I used to be in that respect. So there's a part of me where it's like, I'm not going to do that with you.
Okay.
Because we both could. And I think that was the reason why it was totally okay for me to do it before where, and then you hit on the nail on the head where it was kind of this thing of, I like you. If nothing else happens, that's totally okay. At least then like I got to sleep with you. And then if something does happen, like, oh, that's cool. That's sweet. Like,
yeah,
you know, it was fun that way. Whereas I think I'm not like emotionally invested in these guys yet, but it's also kind of this thing of like, I'm not really that girl anymore. Like, I'm not even a girl who's, like, cool with just, like, hanging out. Like, I'm not going to hang out with you. Like, if you want to spend time with me, you can ask me out on a date because we're grown-ups now and that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more of that kind of thing, too, where...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same thing with me. It's like, I'm into this dude. Yeah, if you're listening, I'm into you, dude.
She's into you.
That's real. It's real romantic.
Yo, dude.
Whatever.
She's into you.
Yo, give her your coat.
Give her your coat.
Give her your coat.
Give her your coat.
I don't know, whatever. This isn't about you right now. but it is that thing where, I know for me, it's like, I don't think I can just be in a relationship where, you know, there isn't like possibilities. Like,
right.
And it's nice when people let you know right away.
Yes. Yes. I think, yes.
Well, because people know. I mean, most of the time, guys know.
Yeah.
If they're not into you, like, in a level that's, like, outside of just we're going to, like, hang out for a couple of months. And I'm going to be like, well, I like to just, let's just be friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and I don't want to set myself up for that. But it's also spring. And if I feel, like, a chemistry with a person, even physical, I'm just going to go with it because I need to learn to be open and vulnerable.
Yes.
And I need to learn,
which is very important,
to get it on. Because I'm not great. I mean, I'm like, I've had plenty of sex, but it hasn't been the best sex at all.
Really?
Oh God, no.
Do you think it's because you've been with unskilled people, or do you think it's because you feel like your skills are rusty?
My skills are not horrible.
Okay.
And their skills are not horrible.
Okay.
Well, some of their skills have been horrible, but I'm not, whatever. I'm not going to point any goddamn fingers. You don't even want to hurt your feelings. I'm still a nice person. But like, I don't know. I psych myself out.
Yeah.
You know? When I'm in the middle of carnal pleasures. Fuck, I'm 45. Leave me alone. I'm 65. A 65-year-old woman would say, a 65-year-old female professor would say carnal pleasures. Well, Saturday Night Live characters like Rachel Dratch and...
The lover. Like a lover. Yeah, in the hot tub.
Oh, God.
But all right, so anyways, yeah.
I don't think I've just had, like, a relationship where we've kind of been, like, on a level of intimacy, like, emotionally.
Okay.
Where we can get down.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had a couple relationships like that. And I think once you have, it's really hard to not want to turn your other sexual relationships into that, too.
Yeah.
And I think there's a matter of chemistry. There's also a huge matter of like honesty.
And communication is important.
Yeah. And it all kind of, okay.
You know when it's right, when it comes together.
But here's the thing though that I think is interesting. So let's break it down. So within a relationship, I've had two where like they were so intimate that there weren't any boundaries. Like there wasn't anything that we couldn't talk about or do or request. And like, it was like, there's also a huge fun factor that comes into that too. Like, it's just fun. Like it's fucking fun.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of that, I've had purely sexual, like booty call relationships that have also been kind of like that because there wasn't any need for intimacy. You know what I mean? Like you're both on the same page.
Yeah, but you're still able to. I think at the end of the day, it's fucking straight up communication.
Yeah.
Well, when it's like just sexual, sometimes, you know, you're just like, you get what you want and say what you want.
I think so too. I don't know. Okay. There's a point that I'm like trying to formulate in my head.
Okay.
I think communication, yes. But I think in terms of like that booty call, friends with benefit relationship, I don't think the communication is as important as sort of like a freedom from emotion.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Or
I'm not free from emotion.
See, yeah. And I feel like, yeah, there's also been two key, like I lost my virginity to a guy where it was like, I have no emotional ties to you. But it was also one of those relationships where I knew that, and this is, we can get into this at a later podcast if people want to like talk about the emotional implications of this, but I knew that he was super, super, super into me. So there was definitely like a pro on my side where like I could do anything and like be as like free and unrestricted as I wanted to be because I knew there was nothing that I could do that would turn him off, you know? And I think that's actually the key that comes into it. When you know that like there's literally nothing, like no position I can be in, nothing I can request, nothing that I can do that's going to make him be like, oh yeah, maybe I don't want to do this with her again. You know, like
maybe murder sex.
Yeah. Like maybe that, but within the realms of like normal.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know why I regular people sex. Murder sex. That's not cool. I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
So maybe it's more of just like freedom of like negative consequences. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know, but if you figure it out, you write a book about it because everyone wants to fucking know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's always so complicated. I think with, like, these two guys, so with one of them, I feel like it's definitely a case of, like, he's just not that into me. Like, I think he likes me, and I think that, like, when I'm around or when I'm kind of, like, in front of his face or, like, even occasionally, like, he'll reach out. But he doesn't like me enough to like take the initiative.
Or to go the extra mile in any sort of way.
Yeah. Or I haven't given him enough to be like, yo, give you your coat. You know, like
yeah.
That. And then with the other one, I feel like we don't really know each other that well. And I'd like to get to know him better because I don't fully know how I feel about him. But I'm also not going to be the girl that's like, yo, like, let's go hang out. So then I'm like frustrated because I'm like, I know that you also want to get to know me, but you're not taking the initiative. And then I'm going to get annoyed with how lazy you're being. And then I'm not going to like you at all. Like, it's not even going to have a chance before it starts, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that that sounds like so not fair to get mad at somebody for not taking the initiative when like I'm not willing to do that either. But at the same time, like, whatever,
that's
you're
just
a guy.
How I feel.
Like, you get paid more than I do, so therefore, you ask me out on the date.
Yeah, you take your extra
I don't make
25
the rules.
Cents and yeah. Take me out.
Yeah. You don't even have to pay, you just have to ask me out. Like, we can do something for free.
Incentive. Get it? There's the word scent and incentive.
You're so clever.
I know.
Good job. Yeah, so anyways, spring fever. Everybody wants to do it.
Spring fever. Just do it. I gotta go do it. I'll see you later.
I'm gonna go bone.
Boop, 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 boop. Let's do it. Okay. Gotta go.
I used to actually send out that text to a particular person. I'd be like, you want to do it? And he'd be like, yeah. And I'd be like, great.
Oh, that's
great.
That's fun.
It was so fun. Especially when like you're out at a bar and you're like, this is boring. And I could also just go home and have sex with this person. So,
do you yeah. wanna, you leave first. No, you go too. I'll go next. You go first.
I'll wait 5 minutes. And then I'll do the same thing.
Yeah, for me, I mean, in your situation where you like him and he probably likes you and you're mad at him because he's not taking the initiative and you're not either, I have, like, no control over that.
Yeah?
Like, I turn into a fucking idiot.
Really? Like, how so?
Where if I like somebody and I'm not totally sure, but I like them and I'm attracted to them, like 75% of the time, I'm just going to do something stupid. Like be like, hey, you're cute. You want to go out? Or just like send the stupid like message on Facebook. Like, oh, I like, do you have a person? Like if you don't have a person, would you like to go on a date?
Yeah, but you send like super cute, charming messages like that. Like I would be like, I'm going to take a walk. Like I would either like send them like a novella about how we should hang out, or like I would be pretty flippant, I think.
So when are you gonna ask me out? Dot,
exactly.
Dot, dot.
That is exactly what I would say. And have said a couple of times, and it hasn't worked out for me. So
yeah, well, inevitably for me, like if a guy isn't like asking me out and then I'm like, hey, we should go out, inevitably he's going to come back and he's going to say, sorry, no. And not in a mean yeah. way or whatever, but it's like, there's a reason why.
Exactly. So that's the thing. Like, I know people say that it's a double standard, but it is that thing where I have, like, through my studies in psychology and also, like, online dating and all this other stuff that I've done, to me, honestly, it's an infallible rule that if a guy likes a girl, he's going to ask her out. He's going to figure out a way to spend time with her.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, he doesn't like her enough. Or if he doesn't and he wants her to take the reins, usually it means that like she's going to have to take initiative through everything. Like guys who are like, I'm just going to sit back and like let her ask me out. Like,
yeah,
that girl is never going to get what she wants out of the relationship. Like she's going to have to try hard to get him to like take the lead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's so difficult because it's like such a power move.
Yes. But it's also like human behavior too, where like the more you give somebody, the more they're going to take.
Yeah.
So like if you're already giving them that, I don't know, whatever. This could be a whole other podcast, but yeah, because I actually, I thought about it today where like I was taking a walk with Bubba in the park and I was like, you know, it'd be kind of cool to just like text this person and be like, yo, like I work from home. I know that your schedule is also pretty free too and that you have a dog. Like, do you want to go walk our dogs together one day? But then I'm like, no, because it just, it would be like innocent and pretty innocuous. But then if I don't get the outcome that I want from that, I'm going to be pissed off that like I exerted that energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. I just really love getting rejected. I'm just a really big fan.
It's something that I really like to seek out.
Yes. And it's just
and do a lot of.
It makes me feel like myself. There is nothing that brings me back to earth faster and more lovingly than getting rejected.
Yep. Getting turned down by a guy.
Yeah. Or like not getting a job or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm not like,
it's you're very character building.
It is.
It's the worst.
It is, yeah. But it's the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now I hate myself.
Shut up. Just gonna let that awkward silence keep.
Doot, 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 doot. Okay, that's my way of saying, where are we at?
Let's talk about Mad Men.
Yeah?
Since we touched on some awkward and depressing topics, let's go straight into last season of Mad Men because that seems to fit. Which is also
depressing.
Depressing and sometimes awkward.
Amazing.
It's amazing. I'm gonna miss it a
lot. I'm trying to think if it was like the second episode. There was like a recent episode. I think it was just like not this most recent episode, but the last one where it was like extremely like sexually charged.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like,
sexy.
Some stuff happened. This is like some fucking season one, like Mad Men yeah. sexiness where you're like, Mm-hmm. And then.
Well, that weird kid comes back and practically like makes out with Joan or not Joan. What's her face?
They've always had an eerily sexual.
It's weird. But it's also super interesting, though, to, like, watch that play out. Like, he's hot. He's a fine-looking young man.
He's the creator's son.
Yes. Yep.
He was a kind of a creepy child.
He was an incredibly talented, creepy kid.
He's still, like, a talented, creepy, possible adult. He may not even be 18.
He is a very unnerving stare.
Oh, my God.
Is what I realized. I'm just, like... He doesn't let his eyes leave your face when he's talking to you.
I think that he probably kills small animals. Not really. I don't think so.
Honestly, yes. Like if he...
I just look at him and I see him killing small animals.
Which is a sign of being a psychopath.
Yep.
Yep.
Straight up.
Yep. Yeah, I am going to be bummed to say goodbye to Joan and also to Peggy.
I think they're both going to go. I mean, I think that they're going to allow these lead female characters to go out with a bang.
I hope so.
On top.
Yeah. Literally.
I feel it. It'd
be real nice if they came out.
Like, I don't know. I just feel it because I feel like for as much as the show is based in kind of a very misogynistic world, I think it almost all of the female, you know, like characters have like really strong personalities.
It's been gratifying to see them grab hold of what power they could get a hold of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even like be subversively powerful.
Yeah. But power they want, you know, where they're not just power hungry. I mean, they're just kind of going for things that they want.
Yes. Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So and I've loved seeing like Sally Draper, like her whole story. Like,
I'm just not a fan of the Sally Draper. I just don't, like, I just have never, like, I've read so many articles about, like, the deep-seated underlying angst of Sally Draper. And, like, I just think she's a bad actress. Like, yes, I do. Like, sometimes I watch her in scenes and I'm like, I don't see it.
I'm really... I'm about to say.
Sorry. That's my opinion.
I love the character, and I feel like a personal connection to it because I just kind of see, like, you know, mothers from that era and their relationships with their daughters and, like, the general trend of just kind of, like, weird coldness. And I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah.
You guys be... I'm like, God, Betty has had some fucking moments where I'm like, you're such a mean mom.
Yeah. Betty's a... super narcissist person.
Yeah.
She's an interesting character though too. Like she, I mean, I think that's kind of like the umbrella clause of almost all the characters on Mad Men, where they have incredibly sympathetic things like storylines or parts of their lives, but then they're also incredibly reprehensible in some of their actions too.
Oh yeah. But that's normal. I mean, we've all kind of done stuff where we're like,
right, which is why I think it's so, like, it's become such an iconic show.
Yeah, I don't want it to end, but I'm glad it is, because I think it's had some slow seasons.
There was when Megan moved to L.A. Like, I remember trying to watch the first episode and be like, God, this just, like, seems so dark and depressing. Like, I don't think I want to watch this. But I really, two of my favorite ones are Peter and Trudy, and I want more of them in the next few episodes. Like, I want to see... like, Trudy is such a delight to watch. Alison Brie is just an amazing actress anyways. Like, I like her in anything. But, and Peter is, like, disgusting in many ways, shapes, or forms. But he's also, like, incredibly entertaining to watch, too.
Well, just because he doesn't hold back, even if he's being a fucking baby.
Right, or being a pretentious dick. Yeah.
He just fucking is, there's no censor there.
No, yeah. There's no middle ground with Peter.
Yeah. But. Yeah, Trudy's in this... the most recent episode that just was on.
Yeah, I saw that. I read Todd O'Dowd's recap of it, which I fully enjoyed. So, yeah. I locked it a lot. Todd O'Dowd, you're a good writer. You do really good recaps.
You're getting ready for your party down south.
Yep.
Audition.
No. God, that show's the worst. Yeah, speaking of amazing series shows that people are obsessed with, you want to talk a little bit about Game of Thrones? You've seen more episodes than I have. I just watched the first one of the first season.
Meh, let's save Game of Thrones till we're both caught up.
Okay.
Because I'm behind and I haven't really gotten into this season.
I know that there's going to be a Sunday or a Monday that I'm going to want to stay in bed and just watch all the episodes of Game of Thrones. But I think I'm also one of the people in the minority where I've read the books. I enjoyed most of the books. And the first season really pissed me off in the way that they changed certain parts of the storyline that were unnecessary. And I also felt it didn't add to the overall series. And so after that, I stopped watching some of the seasons. I did see the Red Wedding episode and like a couple of the other key ones. And I really enjoyed them. So I kind of want to go back. But I feel like... this season is really interesting to me just because I think the big question is, like, if George Martin doesn't finish the next book, like, what the fuck is going to happen? And they're already, like, changing key storylines, which I think is really interesting to kind of make room for that. But, yeah, I haven't, like, I watched the premiere episode and then, I don't know, I've been saving the other ones too.
Yeah, and I mean, I think like, a lot of stuff's going to happen, which is exciting because not that nothing is happening, but I'm waiting for some excitement.
Yeah. Sorry, I was checking the name of George R.R. Martin. George R.R. Martin. Martin. Are we ever going to see your next book, George? You ever going to get that done?
I'm not reading those big ass books. That's why I watch TV, y'all.
I think they're good. It's hard sometimes to like keep track of the characters, but I do like how... in order to circumvent that, like certain books focus on certain characters and then like the next book will go back to other characters, which is good, but it's also really annoying when like you spend a whole book not hearing about like your all-time favorite character and you're like, yeah, fuck this. I don't care about any of the people in there. Like I could give a shit about Jon Snow. Like I don't care anything about Wildings and I
fucking love
the Wall and Jon Snow. Like I don't care. Like even during the episodes, like I just kind of fast forward through that bullshit.
Even after reading all the books?
Yeah.
Isn't he kind of a cool dude?
It's fine.
Don't ever.
Okay. I found it it wasn't a part of the storyline that interests me whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're not.
I yawned like a really big yawn and I am like fucking crazy starving. You know, like after work when you're just like, I'm getting a little hangry.
You get hangry? You want to talk about Full House and get hangry about that?
Yeah. I'm going to get hangry about John Stamos.
Get into it. Tell us all about it.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about it, but apparently they're doing like a Full House spinoff 40 years later called Fuller House, which at first I was like, oh, that's going to be their last name is Fuller. And I'm like, no, dipshit, Full House, Fuller House. Like it just dawned on me and I was like, oh, God. So, yeah. And they got, like, everybody on board except the Olsen twins are like, no one asked us. Not that they were mad because I'm sure they don't want to do it anyway. But then John Stamos was like, that's a lie. Uncle Jesse called that shit out. Don't piss off the yogurt, man.
Well, I just, like, before we started, I skimmed an article where they're like, we didn't know about it. We'll have to talk to our manager because we'd like to be a part of it. And then John Stamos was like, that's bullshit. You guys did know about it. And then the last article was that he had a very, something like tender or heartwarming talk with Mary Kate or something about it. I don't know.
What, on Skype?
Apparently.
Over email?
Well, they've done like reunions before. And I feel like Mary Kate and Ashley haven't showed up. But I feel like John has been vocal about the fact that like he's still really close with them.
Oh.
So I don't know what the deal with that is, but
I don't know. I mean, you know, when they make it, I will watch it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm just like, whatever.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's happening. My sister was probably really stoked. My sister, when she was like 6, would be even more stoked. She's fucking obsessed with that show.
Really?
It was awful. You'd like flip channels and was in syndication all the time. And if you didn't like, she'd hear like the beginning of the song, she'd fucking lose her shit if you changed the channel.
I remember TGIF or TGI Fridays. Yeah. Yep. And it was part of my generation.
I could sing all the jingles. I'm not gonna.
Like we could do all of them. But I feel like I was right on that cusp where I could tell that it was like cheesy.
Yeah.
Like the whole like, especially when like, when the kids started getting a little bit older and the whole like Jodie Sweetin like, that's rude. And then.
How rude? You don't like how rude?
I didn't like it. And then Michelle's like dumb, like little kid antics.
You got it, dude.
Yes. That shit was so annoying to me. And then of course the heartwarming talk at the end where you like cue the music. I don't know. It was one of those things where I thought it was pleasurable and I didn't have much of a social life. So on Friday nights, there wasn't a whole lot to do except for watch it.
But watch Full House, Family Matters, just
Step by Step.
Step by Step. Perfect Strangers, I think, was part of the lineup kind of earlier on, right?
It was like early, early.
And
yeah.
Just the 10 of Us was part of like the early lineup.
I loved just the 10 of us.
I wanted a big family.
Because that was a spinoff of what show? Because remember the guy, the coach, was it Growing Pains?
I don't know.
Because the dad of just the 10 of Us was on.
Maybe it was Growing Pains. Maybe it was Mr. Belvedere.
Oh my God. I remember when that show totally jumped the shark.
It was such a bad show.
Yeah. Okay.
I watched it when
Coach Lubbock. I think it was Growing Pains. We're going to look it up though.
Wasn't Blake Lively's sister on just the 10 of Us? Robin Lively?
No, she wasn't. But I know who you're thinking about. Yep, so Coach Graham Lubbock, introduced on Growing Pains, decides to move his large family out to California when his wife becomes pregnant with their 8th child. Oh, and they enroll their kids in Catholic school. Sorry. That's another one of my ringtones.
Wow. Put your phone on fucking silent. That's worse than it going off during the movies. Total silence. Shut up. I'm just sending a text.
Maybe I want everybody to hear my ringtones so they can know how great I am about
guess awesome what?
Ringtones.
You can't hear ringtones most of the time unless they are like specifically made to be ringtones.
There you can. So it was... Yeah, no. I know who you're talking about. Blake Lively, Robin Lively. She looked very similar to, I think, Joanne Ouellette was the one that I think you're thinking of.
No, the redhead. And I've seen... No, I know who we're talking about. And she was on, like, Melrose Place for, like, 5 seconds.
What? Remember when they started doing their singing at the pizza place?
Oh, my God.
Wasn't that amazing? They were actually really good.
It was bad.
Train.
Ugh, just the 10 of us.
Chain of fools. Zany plots range from a job at a slaughterhouse to raffling off a date. To be like, that's going to be my obituary.
Jamie Lunar, Cindy.
I want somebody to write something about me and be like, Zany. She was zany. She did zany comedy. Zany antics
of Amber Carter. Yes. Tag you in that like right now.
Oh, yeah. So Jamie Lunar was the hot sister.
Yeah. She was like the redhead.
She was bodacious. Yeah. She was my favorite.
I confuse her with Robin Lively.
How dare you? Get it straight.
I can't.
We might have to do a whole deep dive into just the 10 of us.
That'd be hilarious.
It'd be amazing.
I think I'm done already.
Maybe we'll have to do that next week.
Yeah. Next time I'll bring a snack to have.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
I'm sorry. I totally understand. Sea salt is literally 3 blocks away from my house, though.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Just as an idea.
Okay. One day for sure.
Yes. One day for sure. Yeah. So, yeah. I think we're at time, so.
Thanks for joining us. Episode 22, not the birthday you expected.
Yeah, thanks for coming along with us on this amazing journey.
I don't fucking know. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm just trying to help.
That's right. Trying to bring us out with a bang.
I'm here to help.
Banging.
Boom.
Get out there and bang.
You're out.
Spring fever. Bang a bang. All right. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Pizza Rainbow. For this and other great podcasts, you can check us all out at mathishard.net or on iTunes Pizza Rainbow, where you can rate, review, and comment on how awesome we are.
And for more of Jen Paulson in your life, you can follow her on Twitter at TigerBeatPoet. You can also check out her Instagram at JenJunePaulson. To follow me on Twitter, you can hit me up at Amber_L Carter or check out my website at AmberLCarter.com.